as he comes up. So this is my husband, Jason. Woo!
So a lot of pressure clapping at the beginning before I've said anything.
So Jason's involved in heading up the youth work, particularly on Thursdays. He can often be found at Encounter, speaking or hosting or something of the sort. So it's great to have him. And I'm just going to pray for him. So, yeah, Father, we just thank you for Jason. Thank you for the word that you've put on his heart to bring tonight. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help him to speak with your words. I pray that you'd give us hearts that are open to hear what he's saying. Let your word move in power as we've just been singing. Lord, would you be speaking to each one of us in a way that only you can through the words that Jason brings tonight. Amen.
Thank you, Katie. I think one of the scariest things for me, at least coming up here, is wearing this microphone. But not just wearing it now, but actually wearing it whilst I'm over there singing really badly, knowing that John and Joel up there are probably sitting with their headphones going, oh, it's really funny, really bad. I'm sure they don't do that. But anyway, we're currently in a series called Because I'm Happy, looking at how we find joy in different circumstances and joy through different parts of our lives. And last time we heard Nick, who's sitting down there, talking about finding joy in the present, and I'm going to talk today about finding joy in the future. Now, who here looks forward to things, looks forward to good things like a holiday or maybe you've got something coming from Amazon and you're like, oh, yes, I'm really excited about it coming. It's great. A lot of people, what sort of things do people look forward to? What are you looking forward to at the moment, Sam?
I'm looking to the new Foo Fighters album, which is coming out tomorrow.
That was almost an advert right there. It's like available at selected retailers, things like that. Anybody else? Anyone over here? Mortimer, what are you looking forward to? On the spot, right there, don't worry. Christmas, a lot of people look forward to Christmas. That's coming soon. Or just Christmas holidays, you know, some time off school or off work. I've got 2 weeks off this Christmas, which is great. I'm really looking forward to that. But what if I told you that there was something that everyone can look forward to, everyone here can look forward to, whether or not you're following Jesus, something that will bring us a lot of joy and a lot of happiness as we look forward to it? Well, to help us see what that is and how it works, we're going to look at a letter. So in our series, the Because I'm Happy series, we've been looking at a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi that now makes up part of the Bible. So let me set the scene a little bit for you. Paul's currently, as he's writing this letter, in prison. And he's writing to encourage the Philippians in their faith and to let them know that he's in prison, but he's doing all right. So the verses should appear up on the screen behind me, like magic. Philippians 1, 20 to 26 says this. I expect and hope that I will not fail Christ in anything, but that I will have the courage now, as always, to show the greatness of Christ in my life here on earth, whether I live or die. To me, the only important thing about living is Christ, and dying would be profit for me. If I continue living in my body, I'll be able to work for the Lord. I do not know what to choose, living or dying. It is hard to choose between the two. I want to leave this life and be with Christ, which is much better, but you need me here in my body. Since I'm sure of this, I know I will stay with you and help you grow and have joy in your faith. You will be very happy in Christ Jesus when I'm with you again. I find this bit of the letter really fascinating. Paul said, dying would be profit for me. I don't know what to choose, living or dying. And he said, I want to leave this life and be with Christ, which is much better. Paul was basically saying that he kind of wanted to die because he knew that what was coming after death was absolutely amazing. But he was also experiencing joy right now. In prison, he was experiencing joy. And he wanted to help others be joyful in their faith. But how was Paul so sure of what was coming after death? And why did it make him so happy? Happy to the point where he was kind of really not that bothered about dying. Well, something that you have as a Christian is an inheritance. An amazing inheritance, kind of like a distant millionaire grandmother who's just inherited you millions and millions of pounds, like that, but infinitely better. And you get this inheritance when you get saved. So when you invite Jesus into your life and make a decision to follow him. We get saved from a future with no relationship with God, a future with no hope, but we get saved to something really, really wonderful. we get a whole load of amazing things. Ephesians 1 says that we have been given every spiritual blessing. We get an intimate relationship with God, kind of like a perfect father-son relationship, that sort of close. Relationship with God, the creator of everything and the creator of you, who knows you more intimately than you even know yourself. And we get a close relationship with him. It's amazing. We get to become part of a worldwide family of over 2 billion people. That's 2 billion Christians around the world. And we get the Holy Spirit, that's the Spirit of God, living inside of us. And we get access to that power that we have living inside of us. That's just kind of a few things that we have right now. But today I want to talk about the future. What do you guys think of when you think about heaven? What do you think heaven's going to be like? Kind of discuss that amongst people around you now, or if you're not comfortable with that, you can think about it on your own. What do you think of when you think about heaven? I'll give you a few moments. Well, the common themes, and ones I'm sure that have come up in some of your conversations now about heaven, would have been things like clouds, sitting on a cloud maybe. Maybe some harps sitting on a cloud playing a harp. Maybe an endless church service. I've heard that said before, an endless church service forever. Some people think there's kind of like floaty spirits. We're all sort of spirits floating around. Apparently this is how you do floating, with waving arms. Some people think it's going to be like that. But a general theme is that it's a place that's separate from where we are now, separate from this earth, separate from this universe, and a place that doesn't have a lot of physicality. It's floaty like this. Now, I'll be honest with you. That sounds pretty rubbish. Pretty boring. I don't want to sit on a cloud forever and play a harp. It's not what I want to do forever. Can you imagine being in a church service forever? Not good, not good. Well, thankfully, that image of heaven is not what the Bible says. That's not how the Bible describes what happens to Christians after they die. The Bible describes two stages of what happens when you die. When Jesus died on the cross, there was another guy next to him, also on a cross, also dying. And in that moment, he gave his life to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, I will see you today in paradise. So the first stage after we die, if we're following Jesus, is that we go to a place called paradise. Sounds pretty good. And that Jesus is there too. Now, beyond that, we don't know much about it. But this paradise, this place, isn't permanent. This isn't the ultimate place where we're going to end up. It's kind of just temporary. Temporary until Jesus comes back to this earth, the one we're standing on now. So at some point in the future, Jesus is going to return. I'm just going to stand here to stop it feeding back so much. Some point in the future, Jesus is going to return to this planet, to this one we're standing on now, to this physical universe here. And at that point, everyone that's ever lived, will be resurrected with an actual body. And those that follow Jesus will get renewed, perfect bodies. Now, you might be thinking, ooh, this is a bit crazy. I haven't heard this before. You mean I'm going to get resurrected, kind of like a zombie, and walk around like that? That's not going to happen. Not quite like that. Not like a zombie. But we're going to have a look now in 1 Corinthians 15. We're just going to look kind of a little bit now, but seriously, go afterwards, read 1 Corinthians 15. It's a whole chapter about the dead being raised on the last day. Verse 12 says this. It says, this is Paul writing again. It says, but tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? And he goes on in that chapter to basically say that if you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, then kind of why bother? You have no hope. Paul sees it as something that's really, really important. Paul also uses an analogy in that same chapter of a seed. And a fully grown plant, and the seed representing your current body now, and the plant representing what your new body, when it gets renewed, is going to be like. He writes this from verse 35. He says, but someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? What a foolish question. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And what you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever you are planting. Then God gives it the new body he wants it to have. So I've got some sunflower seeds here. I stole these from the cupboard in the kitchen. Sorry, Katie. Hang on. Put that down. See what they look like. Kind of have a look at those over there. I'm just going to throw them at some people. Mind your eyes. There we go. If you can see one, have a look. There you go. There's some more. You've got none left now, Katie. Sorry. To get some more from Aldi. Imagine this seed. It's kind of like this. I'm looking at it now. It's all right. It's okay. It's a seed. But compare this seed to an actual sunflower. Quite a big difference. The sunflower is just so much more amazing and glorious than this little seed. Thanks, Nick. Your body's going to be that much better. Your new body that you get in the new creation is going to be that much better than this seed. This concept of us getting resurrected isn't isolated to one part of the Bible. It's not just in that bit in Corinthians that we looked at. Revelation's full of imagery like this, full of things explaining what's going to happen, about the world, this universe, this physical universe getting renewed. 2 Corinthians 5 talks specifically about our new bodies and what they'll be like. And it's just a couple of places in the Bible. I've touched on this a second ago. As this resurrection happens, Jesus is also going to renew this planet. So we're not going to live here kind of with it as it is, with bad things happening. But he's going to renew this planet, renew this universe, and make it perfect. This one we're standing on now. Those that follow Jesus, they get to live in this renewed, perfect world with their amazing new bodies that are not sunflower seeds, but sunflowers. This place where they live, there's going to be no sin, no pain, no suffering, and they'll get to live here forever, for all eternity, in a physical world with things you can touch and places you can go and people you can meet. And this world will be perfect because everything will be about God. Everyone will have God at the center of their lives. Everyone will be 100% secure in their identity as children of God. Everyone will know that they are 100% loved by God. And because of that, the way they live their lives will be vastly different to how we live our lives now. Everyone will be provided for. No one will want for anything. It's going to be an amazing place. Imagine what you could do if you had infinite time in a place like that. If you had forever in this place that I'm describing. Imagine how many different people you could meet. Or imagine how many different hobbies you could perfect. Or how many different cultures you could learn about. Or how good you could get at football if you got forever to practice. I can't kick a ball. I reckon new creation, forever, I'll be able to kick a ball straight. It'd be amazing. You could get really good at the guitar. Or a mandolin. Or a flute. Or all of them. You've got forever. It's great. You could learn another language, or all the languages, or invent a language. You've got forever. Now, I get quite excited about this quite a lot of the time, and it's quite a lot of fun to speculate about what this renewed creation is actually going to be like. I do it with friends, do it with my wife quite a lot. We talk about this. It's just exciting. It excites us. It's something that we really look forward to. And one of my favourite things to talk about is whether or not we'll be able to teleport. Now, hear me out. This is a bit crazy, but bear with me. Don't hold this thought with any kind of certainty. Don't go away telling people, Jason said we'll be able to teleport, because I don't know. It's speculation. But it's a bit fun. But what makes me think that we might be able to is the way that Jesus appears to the disciples in a house after he's resurrected. So what happened to Jesus, his resurrection that happened 2,000 years ago, is the first fruits. And what I mean by that is that Jesus' resurrection is the first resurrection of many. The many being the resurrection I'm just talking about, of us being raised. So by looking at what Jesus' new body is like, we can kind of see some of what our body is going to be like. And one of the things that Jesus does after he's resurrected is just appear in a house that's got locked doors and locked windows. Just appears. And I don't know, but that sounds a lot like teleportation to me. So that's where I get that from, but don't worry about that. Also, this universe that we live in, it's pretty big. There's billions and billions and billions of galaxies. You ever seen any of those photos where there's just loads of galaxies? And each of those galaxies has got billions and billions and billions of stars. That's a lot of space to spend forever exploring. And you don't have to worry about dying because that doesn't happen. You've got forever to go and explore creation. Sometimes it's fun to imagine what places we know now would be like if they were renewed and made perfect. So places like nightclubs. Some of you would have been to a nightclub. Instead of people kind of getting drunk and stumbling around and trying to pull someone, it's not quite like that, that's more zombies. Nightclubs could be a place where people come together to worship God. Both singing, dancing, celebrating. Imagine a dubstep worship night at Oceana, or Prism, as it's now called. And you know no one's going to attack you. You know no one's going to try and spike your drink or start a fight or do other horrible things because everyone's there to worship God. Everything's about God. And everything is perfect because of that. Or imagine going to see a football match. You wouldn't need a referee, I don't think, because no one's going to be dishonest. No one's going to dive. Looking at you, Nick Bryan. There'd be no racism at matches. Different fans would be able to sit together in the same stands. There wouldn't be riots if fans did sit together. Or what about browsing the internet? It could be quite scary sometimes for some people. You worry about viruses or spam email or getting caught out by some kind of scam. You wouldn't have to worry about that. That's if we even have the internet in the new creation. Now, I could go on and talk about lots of other things, but I'm going to stop now because there's time and I haven't got forever tonight. But do try this with your friends. Speculate. Think about what it's going to be like in this renewed, perfect physical world. And if you have any questions like, Jason, will there be unicorns? Come and ask me. I've no idea if I'll be able to answer them or not, but we can look at the Bible together and see what we find out. But how do you know that you have that? How do you know for sure that you're saved? And if you're saved, can you lose that salvation that you've got? And these are really good questions to be asking. So some people in this room might have prayed some sort of prayer at some point that said, sorry, Jesus, come into my life, I want to follow you, that sort of prayer. And then they might have asked, is that it? Is that what I've got to do? How do I know if it worked? Shouldn't I get some kind of confirmation email with a login and password to god.com or something like that? It's a terrible joke. And some people think, well, I don't feel any different now. And then they maybe pray that prayer again and again and keep praying it. And I know a lot of people think that they need to redo that sort of commitment and pray that each time they do something wrong. Something I used to think when I hadn't been a Christian for very long was that if I sinned and I didn't get a chance to ask for forgiveness before I died or Jesus came back, then tough. That's it. That was horrible. I look back now, that was a terrifying thought. I was constantly like worried and scared that I had to do everything right, and if I didn't do something right, then tough. I used to just think, like, what if I sinned, but I didn't realise I had. I didn't know I had, and then I got to the end of my life and I died, and I hadn't asked for forgiveness for those things that I didn't know I did. I thought I wouldn't get into heaven. It was horrible. Now, thankfully, at some point, I realised that's wrong. That's not true. That is absolutely not true. There's a passage in the Bible that talks about running a good race and keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. But sometimes we think this means that as soon as we mess up, as soon as we do something wrong, or if we don't do enough good things, then we lose our salvation. And God kind of goes, no, I tried, but you're not good enough, don't worry. That's just not true. It's really, really not true. And that's kind of one of the most important things that I want us to go away with tonight, is that is not true. The Christian life, it's not like a bank account where your balance is constantly going down and you need to keep doing enough good stuff, and every time you do something wrong, it goes down, and you do good stuff, it comes back up, and you're kind of struggling to keep it above zero, struggling to keep it in the red. The Christian life's just not like that at all. If you've accepted Jesus into your life, if you've invited him in, if you've said, Jesus, I want to follow you, then you are fully 100% saved. You're not saved until you mess up or saved as long as you always do good things. You're saved forever. Jesus' own words in John 6:39, he says, and this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he's given me, but that I should raise them up on the last day. There's that raising up again. He said as well, a little bit later in John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. He's talking about people that are following him, obviously. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. And Paul also does a big theological, in-depth, slightly confusing at points, explanation about this being saved forever in Romans 8. So I do encourage you to, again, go and look at that, ask questions, come to people like Tim who know lots more about this than I do. Now, just to be clear, you need to have meant it when you invited Jesus into your life, when he said those words. It's not kind of magic words that you have to say. It's not a spell. It's about a decision to follow Jesus, to call him Lord. And you'll probably have times in your life where you doubt or where you don't really feel like you're doing the right thing, but that's okay. Those thoughts are there for a reason. Those feelings are there to encourage you to change, to become more like Jesus. They're not there to condemn you. Remember, if you've invited Jesus into your life, then you are saved. You're guaranteed it. You can't lose it. You've got it. I think this is amazing. I think about that. It's like, I've got it. I can't do anything wrong. Or if I do something wrong, it's like, I've got it. It's okay. Jesus has given it to me as a gift. It's not something I've earned, but it's something that he's given me and isn't going to take away. It's just, yeah, extraordinary. We have this secured future, living with God in this physical, perfect world. Remember that creation, new creation I was talking about. And if this is something you want, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. That's something I want. You can come to Jesus anytime, anywhere. You just have to invite him in and say, sorry, God, for not following you. Lord, thank you for dying for me. Please come into my life. I want to follow you. That's all you got to do. And if you want to do that now, I'm going to give us, those of us here that want to do that now, an opportunity to do that. I'm going to lead them in a prayer, and we'll all bow our heads so that no one gets embarrassed or anything like that. So if you want to follow Jesus, just pray this along in your head with me now. Father, I want to follow you. Sorry that I've not been doing that yet, but Lord, I want now, this day, to be the day where I get that salvation. I pray, Father, that you would give me that salvation. Thank you that Jesus died on the cross so that I could have it, and even if I don't understand all of how that works, I know that you want to give me that gift. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that, do tell someone. Tell someone that you came with, or come and talk to me or Katie, who's hosting at the end. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to connect to you and help you kind of take the next step in this amazing journey that you've just started. And if you've made that step, it's amazing. I'm excited. If you just prayed that prayer, or you've prayed it in the past, we're heading towards an eternity living in a perfect physical world with God. A world with no pain, no suffering, and lots of exciting things to do, places to go, people to meet all around the world, like brothers and sisters to meet all around the world. And the really important, most amazing thing about that is that we get to do it with God as we worship him. Now, I don't know about you, I think that's something that's kind of worth celebrating, that we have that some people might have just got that right now. I think that's really, really exciting. So I've got this bag that I got from Poundland earlier. It's not just a bag, don't worry, there's things in it. Can I have a little celebration, a little party now? So what do you do when you celebrate and have a party? What do you have at parties? I've written party hats in my notes, but I couldn't find any in Poundland. They're for later. You have these things. What's this? One of these? Poundlands, they don't sound very good. So there's some of those. Mind your heads. Throw those out. That's good. You have balloons. You have balloons, Sam. You have balloons. have balloons. That's great. Something for a party. You have chocolate as well. Mind your faces again. You have chocolate, balloons. I've dropped my lid to my water somewhere. Never mind. Sorry, Katie. So, stand up. If the band want to make their way back up now, that would be great. So just a second with your horns. Thanks. In a second, you're going to be able to blow those as much as you want. So we're going to have a little party right now. We're going to dance. We're going to jump up and down. We're going to blow these, cheer, shout, clap. And we're going to do this as our celebration and worship to God, as we thank him for everything he's done and everything that he's given us. Let's celebrate. I'll hand over to Becca now to stand up as well. Kick the balloons around. This is one of the things I'm looking forward to, is doing this through balloons. Stop. Just hang on a second, thanks. If you'll just want to take your seats for a second. I think there's something missing. They didn't know I was going to do that. They're quite confused. You might want to sit down as well. Something's missing. Something really important for a party is missing. It's not cake. You've got chocolate instead of cake. It's quite an obvious one. I thought about party poppers, but then I thought about hoovering up afterwards and decided against it. But no, there's something missing. When you have a party, there's something you do before you have a party that's really, really important. You invite people. If you have something good, you kind of want to share it. If you're having a party, you invite your friends to it, surely. Seems like a normal thing to do. I was on holiday once with my family. I think I was about 14. It was like a sun beach holiday. It's very nice. And I was walking along by myself, which again is also very nice. And I saw to my right a little girl. And she was in a swimming pool, just kind of swimming around, kind of like the floaty spirit, but just floating. She was wearing armbands. She's just, you know, enjoying herself in the pool. It's great. By the side of the pool was her mum. She was sat reading a book, and there was no one else around, just those two people and me walking past this kind of hotel complex. And as I walked past and looked at them, I saw the little girl slip out of one armband and kind of start to go under, and then slip out of the other one and go under. Like a brick, she sank straight to the bottom. And as I saw this kind of unfolding in front of me, I was horrified. There was a little girl a few metres away from me just dying. Drowning. So, without really thinking about it, it was like a little hedge, probably as high as this. I kind of jumped over, or more through the hedge, because I didn't quite get over the hedge. I jumped into the pool, fully clothed, and I picked the little girl up. And by this point, the mother had realised that something was happening, because there was a strange boy who just jumped into the pool. And I picked her up, and I gave her to her mother, and then kind of carried on with my day. I tell you what, I felt really good that day. It feels good when you're part of saving someone. That was amazing. And do you remember Paul from the letter that we've been looking at today and been looking at in this series? He was in prison. It's not a great situation. But he said in a bit that we've looked at in a previous encounter, he said that because he's in prison, because he's there in that place, in prison, people there are getting to hear about Jesus. And because of that, he is rejoicing. Now, rejoicing, that's quite a powerful word. That's not, he was quite pleased and he smiled to himself. He rejoiced, actual gladness. Even though he's in prison, pretty rubbish place, he's rejoicing, gladness, joy, actual gladness and joy. You see, the truth is that we've all got people we love that need saving. And God wants to use us as he saves them. He wants us to be part of that journey, part of that story. But he doesn't want it to be this horrible thing that we have to do, and oh, I've got to go and tell my friends about Jesus. He wants us to be really excited and joyful about it. because it is something that actually brings joy. It's something that is exciting. God wants us to get joy from it. And yeah, it's hard. It's not easy. And sometimes we get hurt as we try and tell others about Jesus, like I jumped through that hedge and scratched all my legs up. And yeah, like I jumped into the pool fully clothed, sometimes you look a bit stupid afterwards. But none of that matters, because where someone spends eternity is really, really important. And that joy, the joy that you get from seeing other people saved, or even the joy that you get from people moving closer to being saved, is really, really exciting. So we're going to do something else right now. If you've got friends or family or just someone you know that you'd like to see saved, people that you want to come into this amazing relationship with Jesus, we're going to pray for that now. We're going to do something that will help you pray for it as well in the future. So we're going to spend maybe 30 seconds, maybe a minute, just listening to God to see if he brings someone particular to mind. He might not. He might do it through showing you a picture of them in your mind or just bringing their name. Or he might just leave it up to the brain that he's given you to bring someone to mind. So we'll do that. I'll pray. We'll listen for 30 seconds and then we'll do something else. So something else is coming after this. So just think of a name. That's all, or a few names. That's all we're doing right now. Father, thank you that getting saved and seeing people saved is really exciting. And Father, thank you that you constructed the whole world and everything to make that exciting. And I pray right now that you would speak to the people that are here. Give them one or two names that you would like them to go on a journey of seeing them saved. Just bring those names to their minds now. Amen. So hopefully God spoke to you then, or you thought of someone. I've scattered some party invites around the room. Also got those on my trip to Poundland earlier. If you know someone, if someone came to mind, or you know someone that you want to see get saved, I've got some pens here, which I've forgotten to scatter around, so I'll put those over here. Pick up a pen, pick up an invitation. Write those names on the invitation now, if you want to do that. I'll give you 30 seconds or so to do that, and then I'll do something else. So, you stand up, move around. Okay, so hopefully the noise has died down a bit. People are having fun with some pens that don't work. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give a space in that prayer for us to lift those names up to God, either out loud or just in our heads. So I'll pray now. If the band also want to make their way up as well, I'm not going to come and interrupt you again, don't worry. This is me being silly, done. So I'm going to pray now for these people.
Father, thank you that you love everyone. Father, thank you that that is something, that love that you have for people is beyond our comprehension, because you in yourself are love. And I pray that you would give the people here today love, real, amazing, rising up inside of them love for these people that they've written on these invites. And Father, we're going to lift those names up to you now. We're going to do that out loud or in our head. And Father, we pray that you would use the people here today in the journey of saving the people that have been written down. Father, I pray we lift these names to you now. Father, we pray for all those people that they would come to know you, that they would come to have this amazing close relationship with you. Father, we pray that you would help them know that their salvation is secure. Father, we pray that all these people that have been written down today would get to live in that renewed creation. We pray that on the day that everyone is raised, that they would be the ones as well that get new bodies, that get to live in this exciting physical world with you. And I pray, Father, as well for the people that are here today, that you would help them be bold and be relentless in following you and telling other people, especially these names that have been written down, about your love for them. Amen. Now, if you've written an invite, or just on a piece of paper, don't actually go and give it to the person. That'd be a bit weird. You might look a bit odd if you did that. But instead, keep it. Maybe put it on your fridge, next to your bed, or in your Bible, just somewhere where you're going to see it every day. And keep praying. Keep praying for these people. Every day when you see it, in the morning when you wake up, it's next to your bed, go, oh yeah, Jesus, I pray for that person there. I pray that you would save them and you'd use me in that. And then maybe at night, you'd see it again. Pray and keep praying, because as we keep praying, as we keep being persistent, God does amazing things. God does amazing things. We're going to kind of continue to worship God in this kind of attitude of getting him to help us as we do this. And then I think we're going to come back to a party at some point. But it's really important now to just get God's help as we seek to reach out to other people.